and grain of sand. Just before dusk, she sees the first ruin. It is a tumbled wall at the base of a gentle slope, little more than a pile of blocks half buried by shifting desert sands. But it is obviously not a natural formation. And the cold chill the sighting provokes convinces her that she is almost there. Lannery climbs the slope, and toward its summit she sees footprints. Pausing, she looks around, but Dale is nowhere in sight. She places her hand, fingers splayed, across one boot print in the sand, and closes her eyes. But the sands here are hot and ever-moving, and imbued with a timeless history, the breath of which startles her upright. Dale, we shouldn't be here. It is the first time she has spoken aloud since leaving Anil Kesh 3 days before. Nothing answers. Reaching the top of the hill, she emerges into the last of the day's sunlight once again. A kilometer to the west, the sun sinking into its ruin as if that place has always been its home, lie the sprawling remains of the old city. Wishing desperately that everything could be different, Lannery walks toward it. As she enters the shadow of the old city's largest pyramid, the first blood spite attacks. In the Peacemaker, pursuing Dale and his stargazers past Malterra's orbit and towards Sunspot, Trisana was quieter than Lannery had ever known him. But she did not question his silence. They had seen terrible things, witnessed a tragedy of shattering proportions. And though she knew of his past as a bad man, Tree's shock could not be feigned. The tracker seemed to be working well, and Lannery had plotted the projected course of Dale's ship 3 times. Each time the destination came out the same, Sunspot, and she thought she knew why. The incredible device had been built for the stargazers by the scientists of Pan Deep, but to charge it with its driving force, Dale had to visit Sunspot. The mines there were deep and incredibly dangerous, but the rewards for working there were great. Exotic elements that could be used for fuel or weapons. Crystals that sang with force power. And perhaps, exposed to the correct technology, a touch of dark matter. Dale's ship had an 8 million kilometer head start. Lannery had tried plotting a more direct course to Sunspot, but following Dale would be the fastest route. She had pushed her Peacemaker to its greatest speeds, aware that the modifications she had commissioned made it one of the fastest ships in the system. Yet Dale remained out of reach, matching her speed, forging the fastest route to meet Sunspot on its quick orbit of their star, Tythos. Settled into their route, Lannery initiated a contact with Master Dam Powell. It took a while for the signal to be acknowledged, and a while longer for the chime of an incoming connection.
Lannery,
Dam Powell said, and even before the flat screen snowed in to show her face, Lannery knew that the Master knew. I can't believe he did it. Just to cover his tracks. To make others think he was dead.
Perhaps there's more to it than that,
the Jedi Master said. She looked tired and drawn, and Lannery could only imagine the conversations she had been having with the Jedi Council. The diplomatic fallout with Nox, the efforts to calm a volatile situation. But that was beyond Lannery. She had to stay focused. What more? She asked.
He must have shared rare knowledge with Pan Deep for them to make his device. To ensure his uniqueness, he'd have to kill them all.
But the whole of Greenwood Station? It's monstrous.
Not everyone died. Some transports got away before the final strike.
How many were lost?
So many that the numbers mean little.
The Master sighed heavily. Then she seemed to gather herself.
So, what progress have you made?
Dale and the Stargazers are traveling to Sunspot, I believe to arm the device. I have a trace on him and I'm following, but I'm hours behind.
You can't get in range to destroy his ship?
And kill my brother? Lannery thought, but she could not share that thought. No, Master. Whoever is funding his madness bought him quite a special ship. I can't read its signature, but it wouldn't surprise me to discover it's Jedi.
Stolen?
I can tell you more soon.
Sunspot and Malterra approach each other in their orbits,
Dam Powell said, frowning.
You know what happens once those planets draw close. Magnetic interference, space storms. Any space travel in their region will be impossible. Then he's timed this to the heartbeat, Lannery said. He's planned everything in great detail. I'll have to catch him on Sunspot.
Do anything you have to, Lannery.
Of course.
Anything.
The Master's gaze softened. Lannery did not reply for a moment, and the silence between them was loaded. Then she thought of that madness of Dale's that she had barely touched down in Pandeep, and how all-consuming it had felt.
Be strong, Lannery. I know you are. But the responsibility is heavy. The price of failure might be unimaginable. So be strong. Experiences like this, such tragedies, can be what makes a good Jedi great. May the Force go with you.
Lannery nodded and broke the communication. She remained sitting in the cockpit for some time, thinking things through, saddened and afraid. And she surprised herself by finding comfort in Tree's presence. Her Twi'lek companion came to sit in the seat beside her. The last time they'd traveled like this, there had been a lightness to him, a protective bluster. No more. The silence was heavy, yet neither of them broke it. Lannery checked the ship's systems and kept an eye on the scanner, always aware of him sitting silently alongside. It was a long while after her communication with Dan Powell that Tree spoke at last.
I feel sick.
As do I, she said. Whatever Dale has become, I can't believe he would...
No, I mean...
Tree trailed off and then vomited copiously between his feet. Iron Hulks crackled in alarm, and Lannery climbed from her seat and surveyed the mess. The ship's support systems sprang into overdrive, but the air filters could not work fast enough to swallow the stink.
Oh,
Lannery said. Tree was panting and wiping his mouth, sweating, shivering.
Sorry.
Nox, she said. We breathed too much of its atmosphere.
You?
I feel fine. Do I? She thought. She assessed herself and found nothing of concern, save her mixed emotions about Dale. But there were still 2 days traveling until they reached Sunspot. If Tree sickened, there was nothing she could do but practice the medical skills she had learned at Maharakesh. And if he died, there was the airlock. But she could not fall ill. She only hoped that Tree's sickness was a result of Nox's poisonous atmosphere, not something more insidious he might have caught. If at any